Okay. Off and running. Off walking. This is the hope. I don't know if I'm over being sick, but I'm over acting like I'm being sick. How about that? Cold snap that we had kind of settled down. It's not up in the 80s like it was before. I think it's still up in the 60s now. And, okay. Having fun. We're making progress. I think I'm getting a larger understanding of things. Get things ready. I'm still hitting. My biggest problem is I just don't know where things are. And the instruction instructions that get handed out by different people is just confusing. I say, well, if you're a decent DBA, you would know this. You said I was supposed to be a DBA. I have to wear two or three hats. You'd be at best a passable DBA at some point. I don't want to pigeonhole myself, you know? I always had a lot of respect for those guys. I just said, yeah. I did this. I was an insurance salesman. Then I did this. I'm still kind of doing that. Adding to the skill set. Don't go across the street. Go home. They get ran over. Same old dog. Anyway. Keep them in, you know. Talking how wonderful they are, you guys. It's a very interesting form of companionship. It's like, why would I want an animal for a companion? We can't talk. Hear a conversation with them. I guess you can technically abuse them all you want. At least you can abuse them more than you can abuse people. People will put up with most of that coming up. So, I don't know. It's there, it's available, happy day. Don't think much of it. Don't do it myself. If I was single, I didn't have anything better to do. Maybe that would make having an animal more interesting. I, over the years, and this isn't to browbeat a soul, this isn't to say that anybody's less than what they are, but I find that people end up doing things, adopting practices, and other things based on what they see other people doing. I fall into it too. It's not that it's not unnatural. It's just really interesting. Because when you ultimately get down to it, you say, so why do you, your family, your culture, why does your culture do what it does? It can often just be traced back to some kind of weird affectation that one person had way back in the past. Apparently one influential person. The other people looked at him and said, well, that sounds good. So, anyway. A little chilly. There's a wind in the southwest, which is our trade wind, which means we're probably going to have relatively fair weather, at least from the standpoint of it's not going to change the temperature drastically. When the wind comes from other directions, that's when strange things happen. My definition of winter, at least where I live, is you can tell what season it is only in the aggregate. In winter, you'll have more cold, inclement days than in the summer. In the summer, you'll have more hot and more hot days than you will cold days. But the funny thing is, at any season of the year, you'll have hot days and you'll have cold days. It's uncanny. Remember when it snowed on my birthday, May 25th. Now, I don't live way up in the mountains. Up in the mountains, you can have snow any time of the year. It's an issue of elevation and a lot of other factors besides, you know, anything. If you have a lot of water, water tends to moderate things more. If you don't have a lot of water, you don't get that moderation. There's both the good side and the bad side of that. That means up when there's some place where there's lots of water, like say where Brennan is right now, up in Wisconsin, I think there's a lot of water there. A lot more than we're accustomed to here. And as a result, when winter comes, you have winter. You have winter every single day. Your warm day may warm up to 40. At night, it'll cool down by 5 degrees. It'll be 39 something, who knows. When the storm comes through, and it has a real chilling effect on everything, you can't shake off that chill. Like, we had a really cold day. It didn't get above freezing about 2 weeks ago. But the next day, it was back up to 60. That's the interesting thing about not having a lot of water around. There is less of a heat sink, which moderates temperature. And you may not enjoy the fact that the moderate temperature is around 40, because for an entire season, that's what it's going to be. And it's somewhat predictable. In a lot of places, especially ones with lots of water, you can pretty much just through some basic experience know what the temperature is going to be like from season to season to season, because that moderating influence. Like here, for instance, the very beginning of February, we were already having 85, 86 degree weather. It would drop down to the low 40s, maybe even the high 30s. That means you really can't figure out what a climate's supposed to be here, because the climate really depends on moderating forces being in place, and a lot of these places just don't have a lot of moderating forces. They're here, they exist, but just not to the extent that a good, solid climate model would love to see. When people talk about climate change, and I laugh, and I laugh, and I laugh. When you go where I live, climate is so, climate's a weird thing. Conditions that make up climate are so variable, but that's really the only kind of climate we kind of blame here. It's variable. They'll say, oh, you're going to go, buried in the sea. You're going to burn up in a raging inferno of death. And you go, I don't know. I'm not going to say I won't. What I'm going to say is, for somebody who lives in a very variable climate, you'll be surprised the ability of systems that have already been set up can handle a lot of this stuff. Now, I live far enough from any body of water of significant size at all that you never have to worry about hurricanes, tsunamis. I don't get those. So when you're trying to scare everybody on the coast and say, oh, it's going to be terrible, hurricanes and tsunamis and weather patterns are horrible and we're all going to die. They go, that's terribly regional of you. Says, I'm not concerned about that. As far as I'm aware of, it's absolutely stinking foolish to live next to a raging river these days. It's absolutely stupid to live near a coast, because these are facts of life. for the most part. And nobody else needs to put up with them. And you don't need to extort everybody else for your great need to stay in those places. Well, they're going to flee the coast. And you go, yes, good, they need to. They've needed to for centuries. Ever since we figured out how to transport water better from one place to another, so that your water needs are taken care of. And see, absolutely no purpose for living by a coast. Only people should live by a coast are longshoremen and customs officials. Guys to take freight off the boat, tax them, load them onto trucks, and get them to where people actually live. It's crazy. Anyway, so like everything else, the area around Las Vegas, New Mexico, built up because they found silver there. And I'm pretty sure there's still silver there. But I don't think this is some. I don't think they played out all the silver that's there. They may have taken the easiest stuff, just the stuff laying on the ground. It's still present. But nobody feels any intrinsic need to go after. The money isn't good enough, apparently. Of course, that comes from the whole mindset of we haven't really dealt with anything else. The world is full and overflowing with resources. The oil's still there. Amazing. In fact, right now, people are cutting back in oil production because we have a glut. So much oil. It's driving down the price of oil. Of a commodity. Too many interests. I want that to happen. So they curtail the pumping of it. It's all still there. Anyway, so I would say, well, that.